So welcome to Office Hour. It is 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, you are listening, Kate, to KDVS 90.3 FM. Before we begin the show, we want to remind you that the views contained in this hour may not reflect the views of KDVS, the KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. So welcome. Tuesday at 5, it's Office Hour. This is Professor Jay, otherwise known as Naomi Janowitz, speaking. And every week, we knock on someone's door, and we find out something that's going on campus, some research that a professor is doing or something that a graduate student is studying. But today, given the fact that we are deep in the election cycle, we're going to take a slight detour today, and we're going to knock on the door of some undergraduates. And we're going to talk with them a little bit today about voting and student voting, why students vote, why they don't. We're going to share a little bit of research into student voting, and we're going to talk about ways to increase student voter turnout. So if you are a student, you've ever met a student, you're related to a student, you've ever heard of a student, or you might run into a student, any of those, stay tuned and see what you learn from today. One of the big issues we're going to be talking about is increasing student turnout. So first, let's welcome students to the show, and maybe you want to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit. Our nomenclature at UC Davis is usually by major. That's how we're known. You might talk about what major clan you belong to. And just say hello to everybody, and then we'll move from there to talking a little bit about some recent research on student voting. So, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me on the show. My name is Annalisa Burns. I'm a second year English and History major.
Okay, and just to give our listeners a little bit of a sense about this, you've been involved in the student voting outreach.
Oh, I haven't been involved directly in that program, but I have participated and been to events that they have sponsored and worked with different comedy teams on campus.
So you've been to some events that have been sponsored by the Student Voter Coalition, even if you're not an active member of it. So voting is on your radar.
Definitely.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Okay. And Adrian.
Hello there. I am Adrian Saramero. I'm a sophomore here at UC Davis, and I am undeclared, so that's pretty nice. I am not registered to vote, have not voted, and I probably should.
Okay, so we've got a lot of work cut out for us to educate ourselves and our audience. So let's start off. We're going to do this just for fun. We're going to do this as a quiz. Now, they already heard some of the answers to these questions, but I suggest that our listeners, get out a piece of paper, take a pen and a pencil, and take a quiz with us. Okay, first question. It just happens to be an article I was reading about the University of Michigan that said here, what percentage of students at the University of Michigan, according to a recent article in the New York Times, which seems unbelievable to me, and I have not checked this, it's true, but what percentage of students voted in the last midterm election? Okay, that's question number one. Everybody got that? What percentage of University of Michigan students voted in the last midterm election? Okay, so let's go from there to ask a slightly different question. In general, what percentage of undergraduates vote in elections, and how has that changed in recent years? Okay, so that's a trickier question. See if you can see, you think there's been a trend one way or the other, among young voters and voters in college. Okay, so that's question number two. Question number three, do students in college register and vote in a higher percentage than their peers who are not going to college? Okay, so we got the question of college versus non-college. Okay, and for that we have to figure out another question, which is what percentage of 18 to 24-year-olds are actually in college at any particular moment, so we can compare those percentages. Okay, a recent survey that did some work with focus groups, this is question number, I guess we're up to five now, what was the number one reason why college students did not return absentee ballots? Okay, got that? Okay, so let's start off with those five questions and see what they... Oh, wait, I forgot the six. The six is very interesting. What fields, in what fields do students vote more or less? Okay, so if you have, if you're going to compare the social sciences, the humanities, and the STEM fields, okay, in which areas do you think students vote more or less? Okay, we have our guinea pigs here. I don't know what the answer is, the people in the listeners' audience. So we have our guinea pigs here, and they already heard this shocking story that the answer to question number one is 14%. According to the New York Times, 14% of the students at the University of Michigan voted in the last midterm election. So is that surprising to you guys?
It is surprising in a way. It shouldn't be, but it is, because in college, well, at least where we go to school here at Davis, I would say for sure there's a lot of awareness and different organizations that try to promote voting. But I have talked to friends in colleges in different parts of the country where that's not necessarily a priority on campus.
Right. So you think maybe it's a slightly bigger priority here at Davis, so that the, some other schools might have a lower number. Okay. Well, we'll come back to that. Okay. Now, the second question was about voter turnout. Second question. Going up and down in the last couple of years. Well, we're making that. So first, let's go over what percentage of college of 18 to 24-year-olds, just to see what we're talking about. 40% of 18 to 24-year-olds are enrolled in college. It's interesting extra things you learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So of that, that means 60% of the kids are not. Mm-hmm. So of that 40%, and generally, for example, from 2012 to 2014, do you think that voter turnout rose or decreased? What's going on in the world out there?
I mean, I'd have to say at least a little increase.
We're hoping for a little increase.
Optimistic.
Okay. Well, from 2012 to 2014, turnout among those who are 60 years and older fell 16%. But turnout among those who were 18 to 29 fell 25%.
Wow.
Oh.
Close enough.
A lot there. Okay. Now, do kids who are in college vote more or less than kids who are not in college? It's a hard question. Probably never thought about that till this very second.
I'd have to say that kids in college vote more.
Yes. College students do vote more. So everything that we're talking about today, which is how incredibly difficult it is to drag college kids to vote, is even more true of non-college kids. They're even less likely to vote. Okay. And then the question of what was the most single biggest reason, and this was also a total shocker to me, what was the single biggest reason why students did not return their absentee ballots? Make a guess. Anybody want to make a guess here?
No guessing.
It's too weird to even guess. Okay. They did not know how to buy a stamp.
Oh, my gosh.
Turns out that college students don't send a lot of letters with stamps, and they don't know where to get stamps. And frequently, stamps are not sold on their campus. So I'm going to do a survey, a very sophisticated research survey, and just ask each of you, have you ever bought a stamp?
I have never bought a stamp.
Okay, so he's never bought a stamp. So Adrian is a perfect example of what we're talking about. He has never bought a stamp. So to say, for the first time in your life, you have to figure out how to buy a stamp and where to buy a stamp, and it has to be open, and you have to get there. That really is a perfect example. Thank you very much. I did not front load this. This is just a totally honest answer right at this moment, and that was a perfect answer. What about you? Did you ever, Annalisa, did you ever buy a stamp?
I have. I do have stamps with me at my place right now. I do buy stamps, but I can also understand why a lot of students wouldn't go out of their way to do something that they're not familiar with.
Exactly, exactly. So what do you, I'm just curious, what do you buy stamps for? You're going against the norm of your peers.
I personally, I like the aesthetic of handwritten letters. I don't like typing that much, so if I'm going to be sending pictures or sending anything via mail. I prefer. I just like to handwrite. I've always been that way. I think I like cursive.
Well, you are really going against type here.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Okay. So if we have to have people who vote who are also going to be people who do handwritten letters, we're going to have a tiny number of people voting. Okay. And then let's go to the other article that I was talking about, the other statistic, which is, which kinds of students vote more? Which, again, is just like a random. For me, it was a random guess. I had no idea. I had my prejudices. Let's put it that way. I had my prejudices, what I thought I was going to say. So you guys want to make a guess?
I would have to say that the STEM majors don't vote as much.
You got it. 100%. You got it right on the nose. Is that what you were going to say, Adrian, you were thinking?
I was assuming the social sciences were the ones who voted more.
Yeah, social. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Social scientists vote the most. The humanities vote second after the social science. Mm-hmm. And who comes in at the bottom?
Those STEM majors.
What do you guess that STEM majors don't write a lot of handwritten letters?
I feel like when you're a STEM major, I'm not, but like it's a completely different language that your brain is used to. No, it is. Like in a way, they're used to this method of thinking and this practice that is very difficult and something I don't practice at all. But their entire world, like, and a lot of students' entire world becomes their major, and everything they do, they want to do to the best of their ability, but specifically for these classes, for these midterms, for these grades in the major, and that ends up being, like, pretty much the only thing that students are able to focus on, and then the outside world is just, it's not, like, what's going on, so it's on the back burner.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I assume, Adrian, you were thinking your idea about social scientists, students, is that they are just more likely to vote because they're studying political science?
Yeah, they seem to be more into that sort of field. They're relatable to that.
So. Okay, and their professors may talk about or study political science, sociology. They're a little bit more aware that there's a world out there.
Could be influenced by people who teach them to do so, yeah.
Exactly. Now, and I guess the humanities people are kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah, who cares about them? I mean, no, I kid. But yeah, I guess they're just stuck between first and third place. So
right. Well, the other question was about what percentage of college students in general vote, and the Michigan example was actually low. Mm-hmm. And in general, for example, in 2016 presidential election, which you would expect to have a higher turnout on a presidential election, Tufts University had 48.3% of the students voted in that university in a presidential election. Hmm. So that's almost half. Mm-hmm. Now, still, this was a presidential election that got a lot of play. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So it takes a lot of play to get 48.3% to actually vote in that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will come back to the studies, because what we're going to come back to it later on is when we talk about ideas of how to, what people have presented as ideas to increase the percentage of voting. But before we go to that, I wanted to turn a little bit to your personal stories and see, you know, you as just two students who are willing to come in and talk about it today, how you reflect the concerns, the worries, the interests, and the motivations of all of our students on campus, thousands of students out there. So maybe, Adrian, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about your story. I think it's actually in many ways fairly typical of many of our students. And that way I think it's quite interesting because, as you were telling me, you're the son of immigrants,
indeed,
which many of our students are, and that has an effect on voting. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about your family voting story.
Well, my family voting story is that there basically is none. So, you know, my parents came, immigrants, and they were a lot more preoccupied with raising me with, you know, clothes and food rather than political ideas and, like, hey, you should register to vote when you're 18. So it was never really a hot topic in my household. And the same thing kind of applies with, you know, close relatives, aunts and uncles. They also had the same issues. They were immigrants, their sons born here, their daughters born here. So I wasn't really looking to them for any different perspectives. It was all very equal. And that has rubbed off on me, and I still don't have the, I guess, initiative to go out and vote.
Mm-hmm. So what about in high school? There have been moves now in high school to try to get high school kids interested in voting. Did you have any of that happen in your high school?
Not that I recall. It doesn't seem to ring a bell in my mind that a big old initiative for actual voting. There was a huge initiative to get you to graduate, but that seems quite basic.
Right. Well, I think that's an important point, because if it hasn't touched you, then whatever it is hasn't touched you. I mean, even if they had a program, if you don't remember it, we wouldn't want to count it as a successful program.
Yeah.
So what about more close to home now? What about when you came to Davis? Did anything happen at Davis around voting? I mean, obviously you're on this show now, so something's happened. But up until now, you know, one of the things that I was very interested in following is the attempts in different University of Californias to try to increase voter registration. And some campuses have made big, big pushes this year. Do you remember, just coincidentally, did you hear anything on campus? Did anybody try to get you to register?
Yeah, I got emails from professors letting you know that the midterm's coming up, register to vote. You know, I got packets in the mail. I got a lot of posts about that on social media. It seemed very evident that something big was happening.
Uh-huh. So let's go over those. You got an actual email from a professor telling you to register to vote.
Yeah, just like, hey, by the way, remember to vote. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's new. It hasn't really hit me before, so I'm like,
okay.
Cool.
And I'm curious, do you see that one of the things the university was telling me when I was asking, hey, what is university, what are you doing? They're very proud of the fact that the chancellor, May, sent out an email telling everybody to register to vote. And several of the students I talked to said they didn't see that because they really don't. Email is not a terribly effective way. I'm curious. Did you remember seeing an email from May to vote?
I do remember seeing a lot of emails from May. Not perhaps one of them was that, but I do like to purge my emails very quickly. I dislike having like 300 emails at any given time. So I'm like, oh, cool, and delete. So
okay, everybody out there listening, this is exactly the point I made to the university when I was talking with them about why I think email attempts to get students to register are not terribly successful. Because here Adrian says, well, I may have gotten that, but so here's a real time playing out of that plan. So you said you got a packet. What kind of packet did you get?
Yeah, just U.S. voter information packet for I guess, being here in Davis, because considering I moved like a year ago here. So
it just came in the mail?
Yeah.
The mail to you. Okay. Yeah. So we've got, now what did you get on social media?
I guess one of the main ones I can think of right now is I don't know, YouTube social media. Yeah, right. An ad campaign for like with old people, like, like, hey, young people, don't vote. Like, who cares? Like, I remember seeing that a lot. And there were other instances of, you know, in other social media places, but that in particular just jumps out to me. And I'm like, okay, that's basically what I got from it.
Is not, you won't vote.
It was like 5 seconds, hey kids, don't vote, and I skipped the ad. I'm like, okay, that was cool. I didn't get to see the actual message of it. I've never actually finished that ad to completion, but that's what I do remember.
Okay, so what do you think the point of that ad was? Was it to get
I'm
you to vote or not?
It was to make you vote.
Exactly.
Just based on pride alone, like, how dare you?
Okay, well, I will tell you personally that my husband is incredibly fond of that. I think old people like that ad a great deal. Yeah. I don't think it has a lot of impact on young people. And you, again, in real time, here we are in your real time, Adrian, the young person who had gone through that ad so fast, you're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it'll make all the old people's hair go on fire if I go and say, yes, they think it's an ad not to vote. I think that's going to be just totally terrifying. I mention that because one of the studies that I was looking at, which, and then we will come back and we will come back to Adrian, but just to interject here, it's a very interesting study called Wired to Mobilize, The Effect of Social Networking Messages on Voter Turnout. And it's a study that was published in 2014 about saying that, you know, we've lost this idea of everybody bowling together. There's a lot of books written about the decline of that kind of a shared society. So in saying, are there other things, instead of going to a bowling group and your people in your group say, oh, you should really vote, does sending messages on social media replicate that kind of commonality, that kind of peer pressure that leads people to vote? So it's a very interesting study. And I was quite impressed. And clearly, this may be the way we need to go with people like Adrian, because what they found is that when social norms are asserted forcefully, the effects tend to be quite large, and even pre-recorded phone calls conveying social pressure messages increase turnout. So you can use phone calls, you can use social media to put social pressure, just like in the old, you know, bowling alley. People will say, are you going to vote? You should vote. And people vote when they think their friends are voting. Then they're going to feel, they feel like they don't want to be left behind. So maybe what we should have sent to you is some kind of peer pressure social media. So the stuff you got on social media didn't work in terms of making you feel like everybody was voting but you and you were going to be left behind?
No, I should also note that I don't have many friends, so peer pressure, not going to work on me. Sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Adrian, because I mean, I hear this from students, and I'm not sure peer pressure has to mean friend pressure. I think it just means other people your age. They're your peers because you're going to college with them, and if they're all voting, then they may feel that you should vote as well. So at the end of this study, they found out that Twitter, Instagram, all these new platforms, Facebook, that actually do get more people to go to the polls because people like to be like other people. They like to be like other people, and that's been quite effective. So so we'll come back because that's a really big question for us. But we're going to take a quick break because we've come already to the end of our first segment today, and then we're going to come back and hear another student voting story and see how that goes. Okay, so stay with us on Office Hour. So, we are back today on Office Hour, and what we're investigating today is student voting on campus in all across America as well, but particularly on UC Davis campus. So, we have two students with us today talking about their voting history, and so far we learned that Adrian got lots of messages about registering to vote, but as of today, this moment on this show, he is not registered to vote. So, we will return to that. So, Annalise, you want to tell us a little bit about you are registered to vote, I take it.
Yes, I am registered to vote. And I kind of have a similar story to Adrian in a way, since my family, I also come from a family of immigrants, and they don't know that much about the political climate. Some of them, especially my grandparents, we would have to push them to vote. We would have to take them there and tell them exactly who to vote for, which is an interesting concept. And I grew up with members of my family studying political science and law, and they would just pretty much tell, like, send one massive email or text out to our entire family telling us exactly who to vote for. Because, so, I mean, for me, it's a very, I grew up just with this sentiment of listening to my family and kind of, like, my family all just, like, agreeing with what, like, or listening to with what one person had said, like somebody who was educated in the field.
So, and who was this, like a cousin?
Yeah, my cousin.
Okay, so your cousin sends out an email. So what did your cousin do? Was that enough to make sure that everybody got registered? I mean, everybody has to get registered before they get the text. So how did, there must have been a family value around registration.
Yeah, we've always been registered, like, since I can remember. It's just something that we've definitely, is a big family value, is that we're politically active and at least aware of what's going on to a certain extent. And we try to care as much as we can, even though we aren't, directly involved with government work.
And you have somebody who reads, I mean, in California, and we'll return to this, California can be a daunting ballot.
Exactly, yeah. I'm from Los Angeles, so it's always kind of a toss-up. And I feel like a lot of people growing up who went to my high school didn't feel the need to vote. There was definitely a lot of pressure to vote. It was almost as if it was like a social norm. If you have the voting sticker, oh, you're cool, you voted, you're progressive.
Well, not at Adrian's high school, it doesn't seem.
Completely different.
Definitely not. No.
Definitely not. There was no pressure to wear the little I voted sticker. So now that you're in college, are you still dependent upon getting that family text that tells you how to vote?
Not as much anymore. I still do naturally, honestly, take into account what my cousin has to say, since I do trust his views. But at the same time, and he works with immigration law, and he has a vast knowledge on the subject, but I also am trying to do my own research as I'm developing my own opinions, studying different things and growing up, I guess.
And so what's your experience about voter outreach at Davis? Adrian got some stuff that he deleted and some other stuff he's fast-forwarded through and has still not registered. So what do you think about in terms of your personal experience, the Davis attempt, the UC campus attempts to try to get students registered?
From what I have seen personally, it might just be the different groups that I have invested my time in. Like, there is a pretty decent attempt to reach out to the students in some ways, but it's not targeted to the entire school. It's targeted to specific groups that are kind of somewhat involved in it. And yes, of course, like, teachers will send emails, but it's a little bit overstimulating to have all of that at once, like Adrian and you were discussing earlier. So here, like I was saying, I went to a comedy show and they did a partnership with the Voter Coalition and they really tried to get the students to vote. But if I hadn't gone to that specific show or if I wasn't affiliated with that group, I wouldn't have gone. So there's definitely a different, I don't want to target STEM majors here. I hate to
maybe they don't go to comedy. That's the problem.
Not comedy, but what I mean by that is that there are different things that are focused on specific things and specific goals that students have.
Sure.
And sometimes voting is not a shared interest. So it's hard to push voting on all of the students.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that because we will talk about, by the end of the show, we will have solved this problem because we're going to put our three heads together and we're going to solve the problem of voter registration at Davis, partly by using your two examples. But let's first, I would like you to give me all of the reasons that you think students don't vote. Okay, let's just get it all out on the table. Anything that we can think about. I said the students don't know how to buy stamps, and sure enough, it turned out. I asked my small seminar. Not a single student in my small seminar had ever bought a stamp. So I felt like this was this like we're talking a language they don't talk, mm-hmm. and that we were just involved in two completely different kinds of languages, and that was a problem. So students, what is a stamp? How do you take it off the little thing? Where do you put it on the, and all those kinds of, which seemed to me completely reasonable questions for people who don't use stamps. I mean, it's a pretty thin group of American citizens who mm-hmm. sit down and write handwritten letters like Annalisa does. So I'm opening the floor for that. I want everything you can think about why you think students don't vote. So, Adrian, do you want to start off on that? Why do you think students don't vote?
First off, you buy stamps at the post office, right?
That is true.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
I had a feeling. I'd say one of the main reasons is a lack of information, I guess, as to the power of your vote. I'd assume that a lot of people who don't vote probably think that voting is very worthless. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, if I cast my vote out, it's going to be, in a sea of random votes. It's not going to matter.
Okay.
And you could take the 2016 election where it was Hillary won the, major amount of votes, but Trump still won. People might take that as like, oh, well, why am I even voting if the majority doesn't win?
Okay.
So I'd say that's one big reason.
Okay. So, well, there are two different points in there. One was that that because we have this weird electoral college, people may feel alienated from the political system. You also mentioned at the beginning information, that people may not have felt they had enough information. Do you feel that way?
I'd say so. In terms of information, I mean making an informed decision mm-hmm. as to who I want to elect or as to what vote would be the best for the most people. So, a vote for this thing would be more beneficial to these people, but a vote for this thing would be more beneficial to me. I think I lack that information.
And okay.
I think a lot of people would actually agree with me there too, that like, well, if I knew more, maybe I'd vote. But since I don't, I'll just, sit it out until maybe I do. Maybe
okay.
it becomes an interest to me.
Okay. I think that's a very important point. What else? What's up on your mind, Annalisa? I got anything on that about voting that reasons why your friends don't vote?
I can definitely think of at least two reasons. Well, a lot of people feel as though, especially in California and where I'm from, that their vote won't matter because everybody will vote a certain way and where they're from. And so they're like, oh, well, there's no point in voting because everybody's going to vote this way. That's one reason. The mm-hmm. second reason, honestly, is sheer laziness. It's true. From what I have seen,
how
just lack of motivation to do another thing.
I get it.
Okay. So that students might just be feeling lazy.
Well,
okay.
Just like lack of motivation to do anything other than, you know, get an A on the midterm coming up.
Okay. It's not part of the high, you know, the activities that are heavily weighted in the institution they're in.
Exactly.
And so it seems superfluous to it.
Exactly.
Anything else? What else? Anything else on you guys' mind?
I'd just like to agree with that. It seems like for me, I am, you know, quite lazy. And if I have a midterm to study for, if I have a big test I want to cram for, it's going to be high on my priority list. Voting is something in the back of my mind that, I mean, eventually I'll get to. But for now, I have to focus on, you know, making food and surviving keeping myself entertained for more than 30 seconds. So I just have to agree with that.
Right. Okay, I did want to say, and I was looking through my sheets here to find the piece of paper on this, because I think it's quite interesting, that in the last election, there were several, I understand very much how people feel. It turns out that there's been a number of elections around college campuses in which a very small number of votes have been decisive, and that if the students had actually voted, and there are examples of that found in California, there are examples of that found across the country, that if the students in the universities that were in these areas had actually voted, it would have changed the outcome of the election. I'm not sure how to get that message out, but this low voting in elections by college students changes the outcomes in districts in which there is a university, because it's kind of like a big clump of non-voting people, and that has an effect. So I was quite struck when I was reading over just how close things are. So I'm curious, do you think students are aware of the fact that in several recent important elections, things have been incredibly close? I'm just interested in whether you think that's in people's horizons. I mean, there was that crazy case in Virginia where the woman, Democrat, won by one vote, and then the Republican challenged it, and then they went to a coin toss. And I kept thinking about that, but maybe that's not on the horizon, the mental horizon of an average undergraduate, that their one vote may in fact actually be the one that sways an election. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, to me at least, that's incredibly shocking. I had no idea that we had that much power, and I think a lot of students don't realize that. And like I said, they either feel as if their vote won't matter. Mm-hmm. Or for whatever reason, they don't get out there and vote. And that really surprises me.
That there are elections that are decided by one vote.
Well, no, not necessarily that, but the fact that the elections can be completely shifted by the vote of a college, and the fact that we aren't voting. I'm surprised, because I feel like we would be excited to vote. We can newly vote. And
well, that's why I'm telling you this. That's why I'm telling you.
I'm very surprised to hear this new information.
That's exactly why I'm telling you. And we will post references to some of these articles that talk about the specific elections that took place. Colleges are big clumps of people in districts, especially for certain local elections. So they whether or not the students vote there or not has can have a tremendous impact there. So I just wanted to go back on this to Adrian then, that you wouldn't have any idea, you don't have an idea in your mind that there are in fact elections that are decided by one vote.
No, not really. That wouldn't come to mind.
That wouldn't come to mind at all. Okay, so we've definitely done a failure in terms of trying to get this kind of message out. So so let's talk a little bit more about, I just want to go over now, what are the things that Davis and UC has done, okay? And we'll wrap up the past. And then for the last segment, we'll move into the future. We'll talk about what things can we do. And we'll just free associate and think of anything we can. So I did want to mention, because I think it would be very interesting for you guys, that UCLA, according to a nice little thing put out by the University of California, they put out these little bulletins, bring you up to date on news. And I always subscribe to it, find out what we're up to. Mm-hmm. UCLA became the first university in the country this year that you could register to vote when you registered for classes.
Well, that is interesting. I'd be on board with that. That sounds cool.
So I asked at Davis, I asked around a little bit to see if we could do something through the dreaded Canvas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so far, nothing has worked out for that. But clearly, UCLA has figured out how to do this. They've figured out how to make it like getting a grade. In other words, they've regulated it into the pathways that students follow in their student life. So it doesn't have to become some weird behavior that takes place far away from the the paths of campus by doing that. So they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other attempts on campus, knocking on dorms. I will say that they knocked on dorms. They've mm-hmm. had that this year as well. They've done move-in day registration so that many, with the idea that freshmen, and you might have fallen into this case, you couldn't register until you came to campus. So then you would register for the first time on campus.
Hmm.
And you could register at your home address. You can register wherever you want when you get online. But they would do that as part of move-in day for freshmen,
hmm.
right? And also, California started pre-registration. I don't know if you know that. Where they're letting people who will be able to vote but can't vote currently to sign up earlier. So you kind of suck them into the system.
Yeah.
Because the real thing that you want with students is you want habit. Mm-hmm. You want it to be like looking for your grades, which is a habit students have online, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to do that. So we're going to take a quick break for our the end here of segment number two. And in the third segment today, we will charge into the future with our undergraduate voters. So stay tuned. Okay, so we are back. This is Professor Jay for our third and final segment today on Office Hour. And instead of knocking on someone's door and learning about their research today, we've taken a moment to ask the question about voter registration among our students on campus. And when I was doing research on this, I was struck by the number of researchers and also people connected like I am, faculty members and administrators who had written articles stressing the point that it is a basic part of our civic, our pedagogical, and our legal obligation as a university to register people to vote. It's a nonpartisan activity, and it should be part of what we do. We are taking in large numbers of students who need help with this. And I think that's a very important point that I want to start this discussion with. In other words, we deal with people who are just on the cusp of becoming voters. And we also are dealing with people who are not at home in many cases. Mm-hmm. So the combination added to the fact that what is a university? And I would make the argument that to be an educated person means to engage in civic activities and to vote, that is part of what we would consider, that if we could go and we could take degrees away from anybody who graduated from UC Davis and never voted after they graduated, we failed them mm-hmm. in a certain kind of way. And there's a large number of articles that draw attention to this, saying that we need to mentor students. We need to teach them how to register to vote, and then we need to teach them how to get absentee ballots, and then we need to make sure that they actually vote. And that's part of what it means to be part of a university campus. So I'm just giving my little sermon. That was my little sermonette about why I also thought it was important. And I've been in touch with the student voter groups, and I'm in touch with the administration trying to push that, because I also believe that we have principles of, community and all kinds of that stuff. But it's one thing to have all of these vague wordage up on the website. It's another one to actually engage in activities that seem to be putting one's education into action. Mm-hmm. So the question for the last segment today is, anything we can think of that we can just throw out there and share with the listener audience and with ourselves, and who knows, with the administration that's listening to this show with rapt attention right now, what can we do so that we don't fail these kids who are coming to campus, maybe were not eligible to vote, are now eligible to vote, don't know how to get a stamp, and maybe their class, as you say, they're in STEM classes, and the STEM classes don't use the word voting. They say, get ready, midterm, you better work on your grade point average. That's the message that they hear in their classes, and that's the one they take home. So what can we do? So the floor is open, and I don't know, in some cases, I think Adrian is an interesting example, and I didn't foreload this for the show. I just invited Adrian to come on the show. But here we have somebody who has missed the voter registration deadline, which was yesterday, in the average voter registration. So we will come back to that point later in the show. But what could we have done, do you think, that would have helped you in the same way that Annalisa was talking about students out there who aren't the targets, aren't the easy targets? How do we hit the harder targets?
Well, I definitely like the ideas of the, convenience that you were hitting with UCLA with
yes.
Registering for classes, registering to vote, and you know, moving in your dorm, and you can also register to vote. I just feel like I can appreciate that. And if we had some more programs like that, I feel like voter turnout would be, you know, a little higher. Mm-hmm. It would be a step in the right direction. That's what I have for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Adrian. I actually went to the DMV yesterday, and when I was renewing my driver's license, they had a section where they were like, oh, remember to vote, register to vote online. It was just right in front of your face. And I was thinking, wow, if I hadn't done this, I just, you know, it's like, might as well. Okay, it's right in front of my face.
Yes.
So if that sort of thing was when I was, let's say, registering for classes, it would just like be second nature. It'd be an easy habit that's just somehow ingrained to my like a routine, and I think that could be very helpful, especially because it's not something that we think of automatically.
So that's based on the motor voter laws that we that many states have instituted now, so that you can vote. You get that when you renew your license, and it does show that is quite helpful. That actually. Mm-hmm. It does routinize it with the word that Adrian was using, make mm-hmm. it convenient. You know, many, many people do stuff with their driver's license, it turns out, and if you hook things together, so it doesn't have to become something special and different. What else? I'm curious just what other thoughts you have on your mind. I'm curious, for example, do you think it would be better if we went the way of some of the states that have mail-only ballots? Is it partly going to the polls seem annoying and unlikely to happen? Do you think it would be better if someday, though it's very controversial now, people aren't sure it's going to be safe, if we did online voting? Do you think in some future that would be super appealing when your kids are applying to UC Davis? Do you think that new technologies might be the way to up the participation of the young?
The online voting thing seems really appealing now, but I do think that... I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
Well, some people think it's not going to be safe. I mean, that's the problem with online voting.
Yeah, I can see how a lot of people wouldn't necessarily trust technology. Sometimes it could be seen as an invasion of privacy or whatnot. People are really skeptical of what can be done on the internet. But at the same time, if that is what we are, if that's the medium that we're all doing everything through, if that's our main social platform, and if that is our outreach platform, our main method of communication, then maybe it's the only way to increase the amount of voters.
That's a very important point you're making. Which is, and that's what this article that I was talking about before, that was talking about using Wired to mobilize the effect of social networking messages on voter turnout, that one of the things that it was saying is that you need to get people to vote, you have to go where they are, and they are online.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they say it's not useful to use old platforms to get things like, they've done studies on postcards. Many people are now doing a lot of postcarding. And people under 25 don't read postcards. I mean, it's just not, that's not where they are. They're not in the postcards. They may not know what a postcard is. They may not know what to do with it.
Right.
So one of the things is trying to figure out where students are. And I think the brilliance of the UCLA version is because students are online registering for classes. Mm-hmm. That's one place where you're going to find an awful lot of them. I noticed we also had a registration thing on the library website. Again, I don't know how many students interface with the library in that particular kind of way. Spread these words around. Okay, so we're going to like put it on our forehead, vote with me, and we're just going to keep reciting it. We're going to stand in line at the Coho for coffee saying, vote with me, vote with me, vote with me. And it's quite an amazing app. We looked at it. I showed you. You download it, and it goes through your contact list, and it highlights messages who you should get in touch with your friends. Like some of them suddenly show up with a little fire next to their name, as you saw, and it showed that those are people who are in districts where it's important to vote. It also shows the people's voting history, which I think you found a little creepy that it goes through the contact list and shows your friend's voting history. I don't know, Adrian, whether you feel better or worse that people might start to look up your voting record.
I'd be okay with it.
You'd be okay with it.
But I do like that concept of, I don't really know what to call it, but like publicly displaying, you know, like your voting history, or like, so you're registered to vote? Like, no, well, like everyone's going to know about it. I feel like that would definitely... talking about that peer pressure, that's I feel like that would be a big deal. And talking about that app, sorry if I'm advancing too much, but I was a little, I guess, skeptical about the accuracy of that app. But in general, I feel like if that was, you know, maybe had more details on how exactly it gets its information and how detailed it gets verified information, I think that could be a really good push forward with identifying who's voting and maybe doing some judging that you probably wouldn't have done otherwise.
I think, well, your point about accuracy is very good. It's clearly a new app, and I have people with names that it seemed to get confused about. But it was quite amazing. You remember, the voting rolls are public. This may be of a shock to undergraduates to know, but So every so often this happened when somebody says they're going to run for office, and then somebody goes and looks up their voting history, and a story comes out, yeah, you're running for office, but you didn't bother to vote the last two or three or four times. And suddenly, how did they find that out? Well, they found that out because it's a public record. It doesn't say in the record who you voted for, guys, okay? You're with me on that, right? But it does say whether or not you voted. So it came up in my list, and we were scrolling through it, and it showed that quite a number of my friends had not voted in the midterm election last time, okay? Which was even people who told me that they had voted, and a few people who'd not voted in the presidential election. When I'm sure they told me they voted in the presidential election. But that, I think, is not, I mean, public shaming is interesting. Maybe we should run a thing over the arc when you go there to work out, and it just scrolls through the names of all of the students who could be registered. I realize some of our students, for different reasons, can't be registered. I mean, we have students from China and other countries. We don't want to do anything illegal. But the students who could be registered, not registered, and the name comes around and around and around and again while you're exercising, there are the names of the unregistered students. Like, or a thing, that. You like that one? Mm-hmm. Or there's one, it says, like, you said you voted, but these are the people who didn't vote. So a kind of a walk of shame, a hall of shame, a list of shame for all of that. But I think the idea here is the other side of that as well. The point of this app is that then you send an email, you send a text to these people that says, vote with me. So you're not just trying to shame people, you're trying to embrace them and get them to vote with you. And I'm wondering, do you think that inside, in addition to shaming, Adrian, do you think just friendly outreach, come to the polls with me, or does that not interest you?
Shaming was the way I saw it, but definitely more onto the friendliness aspect of it. You know, if you're, we were talking about the bowling alley.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're around people and they also want to vote and you're not voting, it makes you want to vote. It has that sort of social implication that, like, well, who am I if I'm not voting with them? Am I really their friend? Am I really part of this group? And so that I feel is a very big influencer, and I'd like to see stuff like that.
I think that was quite striking to me how much of the research found that. I mean, it seems in some ways to me like a kind of a pathetic point, but, you know, in other words, they're not voting because they want to save democracy, or they are fairly strongly invested in a particular candidate, or they're concerned about LGBT rights, or they're whatever it is. They're just saying, I don't want to be left behind by my peer group. But look, we'll take it, right? When we as an educational institution want people to start wherever they start and get in the habit. And like you were saying, Annalise, that someone sends you, you know, from the family and how to vote. And then as you age and you get more mature and you have time, you figure it out yourself. So these people may deepen their relationship to voting over time. And if they're just doing it for the wrong reasons, it's still good to do it.
Right, definitely. Yeah, and I do feel like there is a kind of a social pressure to vote. And it is a little bit, like, it does display a sense of maturity and a path. So this app that you're talking about is interesting. And I feel like if people were aware that this existed and more people, I don't think that many people are aware of the fact that this is public, that whether
the voting record is public.
I didn't like, and if people were like, I don't know, if this app was popularized, I feel like more people would vote. Because if I saw that a friend of mine happened to not vote, I would be like, wow, okay. Like, you know, you it kind of changes your opinion of somebody, not necessarily opinion of somebody, but like it does, it makes a difference for sure.
And absolutely.
Yeah, there's some sort of peer pressure, and if that's the way you got to get people to vote, then so be it.
Yeah, and any of the people out there who are thinking about ever running for office, you want your public record of voting to be that you voted. You know,
exactly.
All you people are getting your law school applications ready. You also want to realize that you're leaving a public record for you on all of those kinds of things. So before we finish today, I just want to make sure to make an important point to Adrian and to anybody else who's listening. So what happens if at the end of the show you suddenly jump up and you say, oh my God, I really must vote. I've got to do it. But the voter registration closed yesterday in California on October 22nd. There is in-person registration on the day of voting in the state of California. So you can go in and register and vote that day. You cannot do absentee voting, so you have to register and vote. So you would have to register and vote in Davis, and that'd be where you live. But you can do walk-in voter registration on that day. So if there's anybody else out there in the world, Adrian is going to be doing that, okay? So you're invited to go with him to the polls, to the polling place on November 6th, and register and vote that day.
Definitely. Now, since you said it, I can't back out legally, so, yeah.
I don't know about that. Well, midterms, I shamed some of my students, and they promised me that what they're going to do is take pictures of themselves voting and send it to me so that they won't have to feel bad, because they've been feeling bad for a long time, and they want to get out of that bad feeling. So I'm all into that kind of thing of shaming of students, and I expect to get large numbers of, I don't know how they're going to send them to me, this is going to be interesting to see, of photos of students sent to me on the voter day to say, I have now, you know, redeemed myself in the eyes of Professor Janowitz. I have now done my voting, and I don't care who they voted for. We're just talking about voter registration. It's not a partisan thing. And then they can go on the rest of their life. And I didn't tell them, but now I know I'm going to add that they're going to show up on my contact app showing that they voted.
And what is this app called again?
The app is called Vote With Me.
Okay.
Now, I will warn you that it has trouble with people with the same name. So if you have one of those people that knows 999 people, it's going to be looking through there and finding people all over, you know, with names. But it did pick up a lot of people very quickly because I had the address in there. And it gave me something to do when I was too tired after teaching all day. I just sat there, you know, would just scroll around and see what kind of interesting information you can find out of that. So that's an easy one. That's an easy one for people to download. But I want to stress the main thing is vote.org is the place to go if students need information. And that if you're not registered, you can always show up on election day. And that we hope that students will do that as well. So I want to thank you so much for coming in on the show today. We have quite a number of points we covered about voting. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation.
Okay. And I guess we're going to, we still have, we'll do a little voter thing next week because we've got another show for before the election. But we're going to move back next week. We're going to go back to knock on some faculty door. Actually, next week it's going to be a professor from music. So we're going to switch back into the study of music from what we were doing this week. And I also wanted to remind you that if you want to listen to these shows, they're archived on officehourucdpodcast.com, officehourucdpodcast.com. And this show will be archived there in 48 hours or so, and you can get all the voter information. And if you know anybody who's not voting, you can make them listen to the radio show over and over again until they say, ouch, I give up, I'm going to register. So there's Professor Jay saying goodbye, and we'll be back next week. So in the meantime, what are you supposed to do to go out? Vote with me.
Vote with me.
Vote with me. Or show. Okay, or vote, register, vote. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Adios.